maintenance and service and all that. What do you, when you go to Salt Lake area, you go down I-20 or I-15, do you see any vinyl fence companies over there? Those white vinyl fences? They're everywhere, aren't they? It's like, I've never seen so many vinyl fence companies anywhere in my life, is what you see there. They're just everywhere. You wonder, how are they all doing it? How's this working? Yes, you have.
Well, Steve's daughter lives in an area that's covered in it, and they require that type of fence.
Sure. So anyway, it's a big deal over there. Well, quick story. We know a fellow who... then very successful LDS guy in Kansas City, he decided he wanted to live in Utah, sold his business and went out there, young guy. And he's looking around for what he's going to do. He wants to do something. So he goes and buys a failing vinyl fence company. And there's a head of others all around him doing great. And so he goes in. He looks at, he surveys the competition, he looks at the market, he jumps right in the middle of that looks like to be oversaturated market. And his philosophy, what's his philosophy? If he was standing here today, he'd tell you this. His philosophy is service and consistency better than anybody else. And in addition to that, he charges more than anybody else. Yet he's the one bought the failed company trying to go. He's taken that thing from the bottom to the top in less than 5 years. Huge business. Contracts, everyone, they don't even think about it. They just call him, his company. And boy, when they say they're going to be there at a time on a day with a crew, they're there. And they have a big crew. And they don't fiddle around for weeks putting in a fence. Boy, they go in there with equipment, with people, and they do it, and they have it's a straight line, it's perfect, and they're out of there, and they're up giving the guy his warranty and expecting their payment, and they get it, because people want to do business with them, and they're the highest priced guy in town. Not by much, but they are. So that's an example of not being afraid to charge for what you provide, but you have to provide it. Now, if he started saying he's going to be there on Thursday and he showed up a week later and says he's going to have it done in 5 days and it drags on to 12 days and he's charging higher prices, do you think they're going to ever, he's just going to go like that, wouldn't he? Okay, so that's a concept. And be careful to don't get into the fear mode where you're afraid to charge for your products. And afraid to find little profit centers. You think you just have to look at it as a big scope, and it's not. It's not. I read an article once, I believe it was in the Wall Street Journal, about a mix of up to the two big electronic guys.
Circuit City
and Best Buy. One of them's buying the other one now, I think.
So Best Buy is probably beat now.
Circuit City. Anyway, they were saying the success they had in a real tight, competitive market with very low margins. And the bottom line was for them, and this model also is Costco's same model, their deal is they broke even on all sales and operations. Their profits came in their warranty department. That's where all their profits came from. Their competition was so tough, operating costs, all these things. They made their profits strictly in their warranty department. Everywhere else they broke even. At the time I was reading this, I don't know if it's still doing this, was some years ago, but I couldn't believe that was the case, but it was. And I've never been a warranty person. I get offered those things and I think, that doesn't make any sense. Well, we don't ever have a problem with these things. TVs just seem to last forever anymore. Why would I pay an extra $175 for warranty? But it's a big deal for them, and that's their profit center. And then if they can break even on operations, they're profitable. And their stockholders are happy. So that was a deal.
Yeah, that's an example of plus on that several companies are using. Like you said, that's to be able to gain their profit on that side because they've already got the person in. There's no advertising costs involved. There's no inventory involved. it's almost pure profit.
And Costco, that's their model. Break even on sales, and their profits are in their
hot dogs.
Their fees. In their what?
In their hot dogs.
Hot dogs. Their profits are in their
membership
fees that we all pay. That's where their profits are. They break even on everything else. That's where they make their money's on our membership fees. The millions of us that pay the membership fees. Yes.
There was a company in California. It was a wrecking business. So they sold. They had these old beat up cars that they sold parts off of the cars. People would go in, take them off the cars, take them home, fix their cars up. Well, this guy charged $1 to go in and do that. They talked to this guy, they interviewed him because he was making so much money off of the dollar that I guess he was doing the same thing, breaking even on the product, his inventory. He was making so much money on people just coming in and getting these things.
Admission fee.
Yeah. Well, so you understand the philosophy here. Analyze your business, analyze your product or service base. A little dark, I was afraid everyone would just start falling asleep. Analyze your business so you look at those little windows of opportunities for profit. Because you need it. It's tough. Is there anyone making so much profit that they just can't use it all? They're being unfair? They need to lower their prices so they're not making so much money? No, it's tough. It's tough to be profitable, pay all our expenses, do everything. So don't shortchange yourself by not looking for all those little pockets of possibilities of making additional revenue that becomes profit for a business that needs a profit. Okay, let's turn to page 20.